Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Today's scripture is going to be from the book of John, chapter 10, verse 7. If you would stand with me as we read God's word. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep."
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bow before you today, knowing, Lord, that you love us, that you desire better for us often than we desire ourselves. God, I know that to be true. God, you always want more for us than what we want, Lord. We often run to slop. Father, today, you offer something to us in this passage, Father, that our heart longs for. And Father, I declare to every person under the sound of my voice that it can be found, what you offer here. It's there for anyone who will come to Christ. Father, if there's one here today who is apart from you because of their sin, because of their calloused hearts, because they want to do what they want to do and they care not for Christ, God, would you work a miracle today? God, would you step in? Would you pull scales from eyes and rip out old rocky hearts, Lord, and do what only you can do today? Father, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hearts long for a lot of things, but one of the things that every person's heart longs for is to be safe from harm. I mean, I believe that's a human need deep in every person's heart. Back in the old days, nothing said safe like a castle, right? You think about a castle. This is Blarney Castle, right outside of Cork, Ireland. Christy and I had the opportunity to lead a mission trip in 2002 to England and Ireland. We were there for about a month. And one of the days we were down, we had downtime that day, we did some sightseeing. And this is the only castle I have ever been to. Now, compared to castles, it's not that impressive, all right? But to me, that was amazing. You see, all the things there, it had everything said protection about it, right? If enemies came, what would all the townspeople do? They would run into that where they would be safe from harm. They had thick walls and high walls, and they had towers and numerous narrow portholes. This is one of the things that I thought was really cool. As you walked around it, you would notice these little slivers in the rock where there was like just a small window. And I went, what's that for? Is that like to ventilate or what? Well, no, the guide said that's where archers could get up there and they could shoot out at the enemy but not be shot themselves. You see, most of the castles had moats around it. This one didn't, but many did. Who knows? They certainly had knights that came and protected it. And maybe, who knows, a fire-breathing dragon or something like that. No, just kidding about that. But everything about this building, about castles, said protection. The heart longs for protection. That's why today's passage is so important. Today, we're going to look at a passage, and it's talking about offering not just physical protection, right? I mean, castles fell all the time, didn't they? Right? If you watch an old movie about knights and kings and all that stuff, they're always busting down a drawbridge or a door and going in and killing everybody. Or they literally would go up to the side and they would dig out the foundation around it and the whole castle would just cave in on one side. I mean, the castles fall. They look like they're protected, but really they're not ultimately protected. But today, the passage that we're going to look at here is talking about eternal protection, the protection that's real. Real protection is not found in knights or castles or dungeons or drawbridges or moats. It's not found in muscle or firepower or brains or wealth or numbers or anything else, right? Any affiliations or alliances. Can I say to you today that it's much simpler than that? It's much simpler than that. It's something that every one of us could have. I would assume that if every one of us were alive back when Blarney Castle was built, we couldn't have afforded it, right? I don't see us living in any castles today. But here's something from Jesus that's offered to every person. and you can have it. You can have it freely. You can have it freely. It's found in knowing Jesus Christ. Let's look at our text. Brother Tony a minute ago read John 10:7. We're going to continue on to verse 10 as our full text today. Let's look at it again. John 10:7-10. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Right here, Jesus says that he is the door of the sheep. We all know what a door is. I mean, there's doors all around us. You have a door in your house. But let's be honest, the metaphor here is a little bit lost on us because we're not shepherds. We're not shepherds back in ancient Israel, all right? Back in those days, what he's talking about here, the picture that's really going on here is he's talking about a sheepfold. That's what Jesus has in mind when he's talking here. That's a sheepfold right there. And you see the door? You see the door? It's just an opening in the wall. Some were square, some were circular, but it was just an enclosure with a wall around it. Sometimes they didn't use stones. Sometimes they just used sticks and brushes to build up a safety where the sheep couldn't get out, where they couldn't wander astray, where predators couldn't easily get in. It was high enough where the sheep had to be there maybe while the shepherd slept and all the things the shepherd had to do at night. But it was meant to be a place of protection. Shepherds sometimes would put thorny branches on top of it, again, to deter people from climbing over it to try to get a sheep. And you see the opening in the wall. And you say, well, where's the door? It's just an opening. That's because there's not a shepherd right there sleeping. You see, Jesus isn't talking about a door that gets on hinges. He's talking about a human door, right? A shepherd would literally, to protect the sheep, at nighttime when he would get them in the fold, he would then go and lay down in that opening right there and protect the sheep. If anything went in or if a sheep tried to come out, he knew it. And so Jesus is the door of the sheep. He's the entrance into the sheepfold, and he is the human door that's right there protecting those sheep from that. And so here's the big idea. It just simply comes out of this. Enter through Jesus. Here's what I want us to see this morning. Enter through Jesus to find eternal protection. What your heart is longing for is found in Jesus Christ. I want to proceed this morning with three questions as we look at this passage here. Three simple questions and to sort of lay out why is all this necessary. One, the first question is, why do we need protection? Why do we need protection? I want to give you three things here. First, we're sheep. Again and again, the Bible tells us that we are sheep, doesn't it? That metaphor is used all throughout the Old Testament. You come into the New Testament, particularly here in John 10. He's saying sheep, 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 sheep. Right? In a minute, you're going to hear bah, right? So there's so many sheep here. And he doesn't call us that because we're cute and cuddly. That's not why he calls us that. He's not, to be honest, he's not necessarily trying to build us up. When he calls us sheep, he's trying to humble us. Because if you think about a sheep, sometimes when we think about sheep, we think about those big-horned sheep out in Colorado. No, that's not the sheep. We're talking about the domesticated sheep, the one who needs a shepherd. A sheep is basically helpless, isn't it? It has no claws. It has no teeth. It can't run fast. Christy raised sheep when she was younger, and she knows how much work it was, how much she had to watch over them. Some say that sheep are among the dumbest animals in the world, right? They're flat out dumb. Most animals, if you let them go in the wilderness, they can survive, can't they? But a sheep will certainly die because they cannot fend for themselves. They're totally dependent on the shepherd. And that's why it's such a beautiful comparison here, right? We are sheep. We are completely dependent on the shepherd. We're not as strong as we think, are we? We're not as independent as we think. We're not as smart as we think. Oh, how we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd, and like sheep, We're so prone to go astray. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this about sinners, about human sheep like you and me. It says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We are sheep. And like sheep, brother and sister, we need protection, don't we? And Jesus is offering that to you this morning. You think you're a bear, but you're a sheep. You're a lamb. You need protection that's only found in Jesus Christ. But not only are you just a sheep, right? Being a sheep all by itself with the elements, that's dangerous enough. But there are predators out there. The second thing is, we think about why do you and I need protection, is that there are external predators all throughout the passage here. One of the main purposes of the sheepfold is to keep things out that would kill these sheep. In the passage, we see the four-footed type predator. All right, you see where it talks about wolves in the passage there? Wolves, look at John 10, 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. But they didn't have to just worry about wolves. They had to worry about bears. They had to worry about lions, all sorts of predators here. And so they had the four-footed kind. But we don't need just protection as sheep from the four-footed kind here. We need protection as sheep from the two-legged type as well, he says. Thieves and robbers. Look at verse 1, John 10, 1. John 10, 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. And what does that thief intend to do? Well, he tells us later on there in verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We need protection. We need protection. Obviously, Jesus is talking spiritually here. If we are sheep, and he's talking about the predators, the animals, and the people that are out to get us, surely we know that as sheep, there are those who would want to do us harm, to entice us and drag us away from the good shepherd. Did you know that there are people who delight in seeing you fall into sin? They love it. Not just that they get their joy out of it. Some of them do. Some people literally love to see people fall into sin. But usually like this, people want to have company, right? Misery loves company. And so people love to drag you down with them. There are those who seek to drag you away from Shepherd Jesus. But not only that, they want to spiritually destroy you. There are enemies of your soul that want to spiritually destroy you. Indeed, God tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know this passage well. Be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Brother and sister, we need to be on the lookout. But the truth is, we're sheep, and we won't look out for ourselves. I've said this before. There's a lot of Bugs Bunny going on in my house. All right, you know, I mean, not only literally. You know, I mean, does it look like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote chasing everybody all the time? But on the TV, there's a lot of Bugs Bunny. They love Bugs Bunny. How many of y'all remember the cartoon with Sam the Sheepdog? Y'all remember that one? Sam the Sheepdog? And also had I think it was Frank the Wolf or Ralph the Wolf. Sam and Ralph. They would come and clock in, and one would be the wolf, of course, and he would go out and he would try to steal the sheep. But every time, what would have happened if Sam hadn't been standing right there with those sheep? Every time, Ralph would have eaten it. The sheep was defenseless every time. They needed a shepherd to watch over it. In this case, it was Sam the Sheepdog. But in real life, it's the shepherd. And even in spiritual life, it's Jesus. There are predators galore for us. Oh, how we need protection, don't we? Finally, as we think about why do we need protection, not only are we sheep, not only are there external predators, but number three, there are internal predators as well in the sheepfold itself. Indeed, in the sheep. In the sheep. We don't have to just worry about the wolves and the lions and the thieves and the robbers. In a real sense, on the farm, you got to worry about the disease inside of the sheep, don't you? So you inoculate them, you give them vaccinations and all that stuff. That's what the shepherds do, right? To keep the internal predators, the bacteria and the viruses. But surely, spiritually speaking here, we need protection from an internal predator that's way worse than any virus or any bacteria. We need protection from the sin that is in us. You know, one of the most haunting passages in the Bible comes from Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Right after when Cain's offering was rejected by God. Y'all remember that? Cain's offering was rejected by God, but God accepted Abel's. He received Abel's, and it made Cain mad. And here's what God says to him, Genesis 4, 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well," here it is, "sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." The sin, church, that is inside of us is what leads us astray to go our own way. In fact, its power has enslaved us. It has enslaved us. And unless you're in Christ, I declare to you today, you're a slave to sin. John 8, 34, Jesus tells us this very thing. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." It's got you enchained. It's got you enslaved. It's got you ready to do His bidding. And so when you drink to drunkenness, you're doing sin's bidding. When you cuss, when you lust, when you get high, when you gossip or lie or tear someone down with your words, or when you seek to be sexually immoral, or you hold grudges and unforgiveness, or when you hate, you're doing sin's bidding. You're born a sinner, already guilty before God because of Adam's sin. Because your father, Adam's sin. We are born sinners. We're sheep who can't master sin. It's too strong for us. Therefore, we need a shepherd. And without a doubt, you and I need protection, don't we? Without a doubt, you and I need protection. And here in this passage, Jesus is offering it to you. He's offering it to you. "Truly, truly, I say to you," He says, "I am the door of the sheep." So we certainly need protection. But is Jesus the only door? That's the next question we want to explore for just a moment. Is Jesus the only door? You better believe He is. You better believe it. Jesus, absolutely Jesus, is the only door to protection. The sheepfold, look at it. How many doors do you see in a sheepfold? There's one. There's one. Now, there are many doors in life. We walk through all sorts of doors. I know we can make metaphors of doors and all that stuff. But there's only one door in this life that leads to everlasting protection, everlasting goodness. Every other door just leads to more searching, right? That's what's on the other side. Because it's not going to satisfy you. It's not going to protect you on the other side of the door. And sometimes doors open up and you literally just fall to death, right? I mean, in life, there are doors that lead to more searching. There are doors that lead to death. But there's only one door that leads to life everlasting. I think I've talked to you all before about the house in San Jose, California, that was built by Miss Winchester, who was the wife, the widow of the man who made the Winchester rifle. They were loaded. I mean, literally, after he died and all the wealth that she got, she literally, in today's money, would live on or would receive $300,000 a day. A day is what she lived. She was filthy rich, but she was scared to death. She was scared to death because through some occult practices, she was into the occult and all those things, through some occult practices, she had come to be convinced that the spirits of all the people who had been killed by the Winchester rifle were after her. And so she got this plan. She lived in Connecticut. She got this plan that she would move all the way across the country so these spirits couldn't find her. And then she said, "I'm going to build a house And it's never going to stop building. From the moment it broke ground in 1884, for like 38 years, that house was never, it never saw the stoppage of being built. It was always, they would build something, and they'd build more, and they'd build more. They'd tear some of it down, and they'd build some more. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that place was being built. It's expansive. At one point, it was 7 stories tall. Today, it's only 4. There was an earthquake that messed some of it up. But in that house, there were over 2,000 doors in it. Over 2,000 doors. And the strange thing is, she said, it's not enough that I've moved across the country to evade the spirits. I've got to trick the spirits in my house, she thought. And so she would build these strange stairs that went to nowhere. She would build doors. She would have them build doors that literally you would open it and it would just open into the wall. There was nothing on the other side of it. And she would have doors that literally you would open up and there would be a fall. There would be no balcony out there. It was just going to be a fall, 4-story fall. And you think about there's all sorts of doors in life that we can walk through. Some of them lead to nowhere. Some of them lead to death. I don't know about you. I don't want to mess with that door. I don't want to waste my time going through a door that leads to nothing, and I certainly don't want to walk through a door that leads to death. There's only one door that leads to life, to protection, and that is the door of Jesus Christ. You know, the salvific exclusivity of Jesus Christ is offensive. It's offensive. To tell someone Jesus is the only way, it's offensive, but it's the very essence of these I am statements that we're looking at here with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread. Remember that? I am the light. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. And here Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. It might be offensive, church, but it's true. Amen? It's true. Jesus Christ is the only way. You cannot protect yourself. You can't do it. You're a sinner who left yourself would die in your sin because you're a slave to sin. Jesus is your only hope. Why is that? Because He's the only one who took on flesh and lived the sinless life that you and I cannot live. Jesus Christ is the only person, the only one who died on the cross and bore the wrath of our sin and died the death that you and I deserve. He's the only one who was put in the grave. And 3 days later, took up His life again and walked out of the tomb with victory over the grave. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one. Therefore, indeed, Jesus Christ is the only door. He's the only door. The final thing we think about this text today is what is found in the protection of Jesus. What is found inside the protection of Jesus? Look here. Look at verse 9 and 10. Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Period. There are 4 things here that's inside the protection of Jesus Christ. One is salvation. Salvation. Saved from what? Saved from predators. Saved from thieves and robbers and wolves. But I want to say to you, that's the least of your worry. Today, if you are apart from Jesus Christ, when He says, be saved, if you're in the protection of Jesus, you're saved. Wolves and robbers and false teachers, false prophets, all those things are the least of your worries. Saved from what? Your greatest worry is the fact that if you are without Christ today, you'll stand before God and face Him. Fear Him. Be worried about Him because, dear one, you are a sinner. And without Christ, your sin is still on you. It's still on you. Therefore, you'll face the wrath of God. Jesus died so that you don't have to do that. so that you don't have to face the wrath. And I beg you today, would you be saved from the wrath of God today? Not only that, but number two, inside the protection of Jesus, you know what you get? You get blessing. You get blessing. Notice what he says. It says you'll go in and out and find pasture. That's what he's talking about here, right? Everything we need. There'll be safety. There'll be abundance of food. All the things spiritually talking about here. In other words, you will have everything that you need in Jesus Christ. One of the things that I love to do is talk to the older saints in the church and of course the church is all around, and they've walked with Jesus so long, and they've seen that God is good, that God never fails, that God always supplies. And I want to say to you this morning, that's absolutely true. If you'll come inside the protection of Jesus, you'll go in and come out of the sheepfold. There'll be freedom. There'll be safety. There'll be abundance there for you. The third thing is life. As you're inside the protection of Jesus, there's life. The thief, it says here, comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life. The scripture says that you are dead in sin. You didn't even know it, maybe, but you're dead in sins. But Jesus came that you may have life. But the fourth thing is not just life, but abundance of life. Abundance of life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Church, listen to me. The world thinks they're having a party, don't they? They think they're having a blast, the time of their lives. They're living it up. But the truth is, the fullness of life is found in Jesus Christ. In Him, there's everything that you want, everything you need. Everything is there for you in Jesus Christ. Today, I want you to consider this morning. The fold is before you, and the shepherd is before you. Would you enter in the door? Would you walk through the door? Some of you already have. Some of you are already inside the protection of Jesus. But today, some of you are not. Today, would you consider coming to Christ? Would you come and find the eternal protection that your soul longs for? But you say this morning, I don't even really want that. Can I just say you need that? You need the protection of Christ. And He's offering it to you. Here's my prayer this morning. May you enter in through Jesus and have abundant life. Come to Christ. Come to life. You'll never regret it.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.